For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's the hump for March 26, 2025. Jimmy will be joining us. He had a bit of a meeting and will be running late, but I'm here by God. We got lots to talk about. We had a big Fightful Select Day yesterday. We had the news on Mariah May in a contract year. We had Mina Shirakawa following up on the Tokyo Sports Report. We confirmed she was headed to AEW. She has since confirmed that as well in a presser. And then all the TNA firings. And that is, of all the things yesterday, that's our thumbnail right now. TNA fumbles Gail Kim. I want you guys to leave a thumbs up on this video. I cannot express to you guys how important that is in order for people to find us on YouTube and find us out there. If you're watching anywhere, you can send Humper Chats, HUMPER chats.com. We would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. I need to set up these streams for all of our Twitter pages too, because for some reason they didn't go out on our Twitch and all those accounts, but by God, we're getting them going. But no matter where you are, humperchats.com. If you're here on YouTube, you can send super chats as well. And that would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. It has been, again, a crazy wrestling week already. And yesterday was a crazy wrestling day. I thought it was going to be relatively quiet. I've been following up on this Mariah May stuff for, I want to say, 3 weeks. And I'll talk more about that on the Fightful Report podcast over on FightfulSelect.com. But I thought it was going to be a relatively quiet day. I'd heard some misinformation regarding the Mariah May stuff. So I was like, okay, I need to get ahead of this before some other stuff comes out that isn't accurate. And then the Mina Shirakawa stuff broke a little bit sooner than I thought. I knew her contract was coming up at the end of March, which I think is related to why some of her dates were adjusted. And then the TNA stuff. And I thought that people were joking when somebody hit me up and said, what's TNA doing? Why'd they fire Gail Kim? I was like, ha ha ha, that's a funny one. Then I saw the email and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Thank you to everybody sending their fruit emojis. Drop them in the comments afterwards as well. But get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Van Twinblade says, how do we get Tony Storm an Emmy or a BAFTA? Wrestling will never be respected to that regard, unfortunately. Unfortunately, wrestling will never just be put on that sort of pedestal as it relates to acting or anything like that. Wish it would be. I don't know that anything that I've seen would necessarily qualify, but it just won't be. Do you think the U.S. title will be a multi-man? Well, you could argue that every match is a multi-man match unless they're facing, is it Hoshihiko or the Invisible Man? Otherwise, you got to wrestle at least somebody, right? And that's multiple men. So here's the situation I'm in, or the way that I feel. Fightful Select reported on Monday, and now it's pretty evident that that's the direction. Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, Bron Breakker, Penta for the IC title. You're already doing Bianca, Io, Rhea, as Matthew Hamm asked if the plan is still that, as best I know. Now, back in January, I heard it was just Rhea and Bianca, but it's hard for me to imagine they will just pull her out of that now. But if you're doing that and you're doing Punk, Roman, Rollins, and you're doing a multi-man intercontinental title, and you're probably doing a multi-team tag team title match on SmackDown, I think it'll be New Day, Viking Raiders, or something like that at Mania. But like, do you really go and do a multi-man U.S. title match? I think the U.S. title needs it way more than the Intercontinental title. Penta and Bron Breakker would have been just fine. It would have been okay. People would have loved that. Guy who's won like 9 or 10 matches in a row against Bron Breakker. Penta super over. Imagine that entrance, which we'll still get at WrestleMania. But I'm like, man, like why? When you look at the U.S. title scene, and all due respect to L.A. Knight and Shinsuke Nakamura just didn't have a good run as champion. Man's in his mid to late 40s now. That needs it way more. The Intercontinental title scene to me is much more solidified than the U.S. title scene. Stu says Cody has had one singles match since the middle of December. This lack of wrestling is seriously hurting his title reign. Is it really just one? I think they should be having these all-star tag matches that they have after the show on the show. Why did I need Carlito standing tall at the end of WWE Monday Night Raw? I would have much rather seen CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, and Rey Mysterio against the Judgment Day. Well, he wrestled on the live events. He wrestled Solo Sikoa and all that. But now, come on. I see Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso last month against Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. But that's been like 6-7 weeks. I think you certainly have him wrestle at least once throughout here. But my big question about this, Stu, is why hasn't Cody Rhodes just beat John Cena's ass yet? What's he waiting on after what John Cena did? Why isn't he beating that ass? I could definitely see why him not wrestling in that period of time would have you feeling that way. And who knows if he will wrestle on TV in the next month. This is what I think some WWE Vault stuff should do. Like, we've got Cody Rhodes beating The Miz after SmackDown on March 14th. That couldn't have been on the show at all. Put it on WWE Vault. Show us some dark matches that are happening. It doesn't hurt The Miz at all to lose that match. Cody Rhodes beating Carmelo Hayes. That's one of the things I really like about Cody Rhodes. On this European tour, a lot of the people are wrestling the same people. He's wrestled The Miz, Dominic Mysterio, Carmelo Hayes, Gunther, Solo Sikoa, Judgment Day. All throughout that. I really like that method where they're like, okay, listen, less dates, less live events, but our champion's going to be on these. Matthew Hooks of Hooked in VoiceOver says at this point, Triple H is Vince levels of booking bad. I disagree with that. I think there are some things that are Vince levels of bad booking. Ivy Nile is a good example. Hasn't won a match in ages, loses the top contendership match, declares that she wants to be the champion, loses again, attacks somebody, gets a title shot, loses again. Here's a vignette. I don't think like that's Vince levels of bad, but Vince would have just forgot about it. But like, let's not forget what the Vince booking was. Go back and watch the summer of 2019 through early 2020 and the top title booking there. Just remember, squashed Kofi so Brock Lesnar could get a win back on Cain Velasquez because he needed the title on himself. Is so weird. It's so bad. So bad. Alex Fitzgerald says, wasn't expecting Saraya to part ways with AEW today. Loved the pairing of her and Harley together. Really showcased how entertaining Harley is. So here's why I'm surprised by that. Because I know that Saraya wanted to stay. They came to an agreement to extend her deal. There was an option year. I don't know if they picked it up or they came to a new agreement back in September. But she had not wrestled since that being re-signed. And she wanted to go off and do some other stuff. She didn't feel like she fit. I think the stuff that Saraya is saying is very self-aware. She obviously improved from a personal perspective, getting rid of that fucking bigot boyfriend of hers. But she is very self-aware of this. And she's like, you know, maybe I'll go back to WWE, but I don't know if there's a place for me to fit in AEW. And I actually think there were two stories that would have fit really, really well in AEW. I think that she would have been able to have her match with Mercedes and play up "you ended my career" at one point. And I would have loved if she came back and just acted like Harley was still her sidekick and her lackey and then put over Harley. I think that would have been kind of cool. That way it would have given a little bit to Harley on Saraya's way out. And I think Saraya would have been okay with that. I think she would have been fine with it. Mike the Jeweler, appreciate you, buddy. Great to see you again. Says, what's up, SRS? Been a while. Hope all is well with you and the family. Wanted to stop by and support. Thank you, Mike. We love seeing you here. Reminder, guys, get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Jimmy will be around, allegedly, at some point. Don't know when. Don't know if, but he claims he will be. Dave, I just want to say thank you. You've been contributing a lot lately, and we are a publicly funded company, so thank you so much. As a Cody fan, I'm finding it frustrating how protected he's been in these Cena segments. Wish they would let him go tit for tat with John and show any naysayers what he's capable of in that spot. I think he kind of has been. And we've got people asking questions about Carlos Silva. You got to send in a super chat or humper chat, friend. Now, do you mean, okay, you think, I'm a little torn here. I think Cody's method is fight me. That's it. Fight me. And then we'll see. Demon Diva, listen. Listen, don't be in here talking that trash. Hello, Sabrina. But, man, it's one of the... I don't think that they have been necessarily, like, protecting one or the other. You've got to have those peaks and valleys. Otherwise, you're going to run into a Jay and Gunther situation where it's like, okay, every week they have a match, and every week they do a run-in after the match, and it's like, ah, whoop-de-doo. You've got to have peaks and valleys, and you need them to have elements where you go, oh, my God, is this person holding back? Are they being held back? And then they kind of explode. I think that is important to have when you have a long story like what we're experiencing. WrestleMania 41, the Triple Threat Fest. It's still not as bad as WrestleMania in 2000, though. AEW 4-hour block could be in New Orleans April 23rd. I've never been to New Orleans. I want to go. We don't have direct flights or anything, but like, I would love to go to New Orleans. I want to try some of that food, man, that Jamar Chase keeps talking about. I think AEW needs to start promoting their stuff earlier. Not like 7, 8, 9 months earlier, because that's how you get WWE doing that corny shit where they run against you. But like when we're talking about, what is it, the Detroit show, they're going to be selling tickets a month out? Like, come on. You got to do better than that. Thomas says, regarding Mariah May's contract status, is this related to her being off TV since Revolution? I don't know. That was just a big match. And you want to sell that pretty heavily. I mean, look, Toni Storm was off TV for a long time after she lost the title. But we're looking at like 2.5 weeks so far. I think that's appropriate for the level of which that match was, which was an all-time great match, an all-time great storyline. I think that all that stuff is contributing more than her contract. Because, listen, at worst, she's got a number of months left on her deal. And I can let you guys in on some of the misinformation I heard. I heard people claiming that she was on internal incoming lists in WWE. That isn't a thing. Those don't exist. Specifically not for somebody who has a number of months left on their AEW deal. Is there a chance that women's tags get defended on Stand and Deliver? I would be surprised. I would believe they would want to put Liv Morgan on WrestleMania. Do you think they do pre-show matches for Mania? I don't, but I think they should. I like the Battle Royal. And I know a lot of people say, well, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It means as much as you tell people that it means. And I think that if you tell people that it's something important, it will matter. But if you don't, then they won't care. Put the women's Battle Royal on one night, put the men's on the next night, get everybody on the show, have everybody in that weekend, at least give people some shine. Contractually obligated to ask about meat. Let's crank. BC Hobbs as ceiling by year's end. Besides meat matches, where's my girl, Camille? She's been doing promotion for Queen of the Ring. Do not know why she hasn't been on TV. Tony Khan is at least talking about her recently. But Camille didn't speak a lot about AEW while on her tour either, which is very interesting to me. Hobbs, I could see in the TNT title picture for sure. Like, he was getting over upon that push of him coming back. So I think that, and he's delivered in the matches as well. So I think that stuff is very important. And he has shown that he can deliver in that sense. Thoughts on the Swerve Vlad TV interview? First off, enormous. I cannot explain how enormous being on Vlad TV is, regardless of what you think of Vlad. I mean, this guy has like 1 million Instagram followers. He's got like 6 million YouTube subscribers. He is enormous. And I found it funny that the night, as I dropped an earbud, the night that WWE made an AEW reference about Ricky Saints burning bridges, there were a bunch of people saying, why can't people keep WWE out of their mouths? He worked there for years. He worked there for years. And they did some undercover cunt stuff to him. They pretty clearly helped facilitate a story that he was paid above market value. He mentioned that. He's not dumb. Swerve is a very smart guy. He knows how this stuff works. He got a lawyer way before anybody else did. Oh, I don't want to say anybody else. Way before a lot of people in wrestling did. You want to know how a lot of those people got out of those terrible Lucha Underground deals? Because Swerve had a lawyer back then that went after Lucha Underground for signing people to 7-season deals with no intent to produce 7 seasons, no plan to produce 7 seasons. These people couldn't sign anywhere. They couldn't make a living. And Swerve helped them all get out of their deals. So you're not going to tell me like this isn't a savvy guy. He doesn't surround himself with good people. He knows what he's doing. As far as the Booker T stuff, listen, I am not a person to be able to speak on that with him and Booker T. I am certainly not qualified for that. But Swerve has watched an awful lot of companies do some shady stuff, and he has his guard up as a result of that. And he's also not jaded despite that, which I respect an incredible amount. Somebody said Vlad TV is where rappers go to self-implicate themselves in crimes. That is true. So, okay. Think of it as a shoot interview. You know how popular shoot interviews got around the turn of the century, the 2020 or 2000s? Like, Vlad TV is like rapper shoot interviews. You know what I mean? Like, who was the little white rapper? Oh my God. God. On Vlad TV was my favorite. Slim Jesus. It was Slim Jesus. Yes. And he had this little white dude, Slim Jesus, who doesn't live that far from me. And he had rapped about guns and gangs and all this stuff. And Slim Jesus was like, yeah, just so you know, I don't do any of that. Like, I just rap about it. It's not real. He's like, I've got some friends that have been caught up in some stuff, but I haven't. And he was straight up like, I don't do that. It is performative. And Vlad was like caught completely off guard. He's like, now hold on. Because, I mean, that's what so many rappers are accused of. But the 120-pound white guy from Hamilton, Kentucky, or Hamilton, Ohio, was willing to admit it. It's like a shoot interview. You get out of character for it. New Lack City. Oh, we got a bunch of Humper chats. Hell yeah. We might be here a while today, guys. I'm here to talk with you guys as long as you all want. Any information if each night of WrestleMania will have more than 5 matches? As last I heard, they were both planned on it. Like, I hadn't heard anything about only 5 matches a night. In fact, I would be quite shocked if they had only 5 matches. I've never heard that broached as like a plan. Like, I would think at least, you know, 6 or 7, something like that. Where are my Humper chats at? Oh, there they are. New Lack City says Triple H's booking is definitely better than washed Vince stage, but it's perplexing how these Mania matches and builds are going. Seems like maybe they made a lot of late changes to the card compared to last year's Mania. These builds have not been great. Well, they've been out long enough or planned long enough for me to hear stuff like, oh, well, we don't know when the Wyatts will be able to fit in when they come back, etc. And, well, Ricky Saints was sent to NXT because a lot of the Mania plans were settled already. But the Mania belt, I won't say, has been great. I'm fine with Jey Uso getting a world title shot. I don't think that up until this past week that the build has been great. I love them integrating Jimmy into it. I really like that. The IC title stuff, TBD, but I would really like Braun Breaker and Penta. Even though I wanted Rhea and Bianca, Bianca doesn't seem to want to go heel, and Rhea is acting like a heel. And Io Sky is the sore thumb who is going to make the match even better, but would have been cool with a singles match. I like Roman, Punk, and Rollins. It's just, can you get them to show up in the building at the same time more than once a month? That would be useful. The Cody Cena stuff, I'm completely fine with that. Tiffany and Charlotte, I'm actually okay with that. And I think that you should have somebody like Bailey approach Tiffany backstage and say, don't let this woman walk all over you like she does everybody. Like, that you should make that a part of the story. Stu says, I don't think enough is talked about the the amount of filler on WWE TV. Constant promos for WWE Shop, LFG, NXT, celebs in the crowd, signs of the night, Pat McAfee doing his dumb drawing thing, drone shots of the city they're going to or they're in. They are certain, as I always highlight, they are a talent agency above anything. And they are constantly promoting the next appearance and all that. And right now, because the audience is eating it up, they will continue to do it. I'll give you guys an example. I scale back a lot of the Fightful Select plugs because I'm like, man, I don't want them to always feel like I'm selling them something. If there's a pertinent story, I'll mention that you can go to FightfulSelect.com for $6 a month, soon to be $5.99 a month because Patreon screwed us up. Soon to be $5.99 a month, and then it'll go back up, but and you can get all the stories there, et cetera, yada, yada. But WDB is always like, hey, go watch this other show. Watch this other show. Watch this other show. I can't imagine watching all this stuff. When I was a kid, I would watch every second of wrestling I could get a hold of. And if it was like 96 to 2001, I watched every second of nationally broadcast wrestling TV. I couldn't do it today, and it's my job to do it. I've got to binge watch a lot of this stuff. Tony says, it was great to see the support Mina has gotten from her announcement with Stardom and its fans. They really seem to respect the hard work she put in and how happy she is being rewarded. Yeah. So her deal kind of came up quick. I think AEW was surprised that she was available, and then she became available. She told me last month she was planning a move to the U.S. and wanted to spend more time here. I didn't know it was coming up that quickly, though, but listen, I think Mina is great. We did an interview with her a while back. She's wonderful. Hope to speak with her again very soon. But she is a talent from Japan that they brought in, and she got over with American audiences. It's easy to bring in great, amazing international talent. It's another thing when they hit and when the audience loves them, and the audience loves Mina Shirakawa. Tony P says, when it comes to Triple H's booking, it's starting to seem like the honeymoon period is up. WWE will still be hot, but I'm curious what is next when all the fallout from the Bloodline story runs out. With Kim gone, Gail Kim gone, I do see more leaving TNA than the wrestler you quoted. So here's a FightfulSelect.com plug. Did a story today about Gail Kim leaving. We will handle those after our next ad break. But one talent told me that they were likely not going to renew with WWE or TNA because Gail Kim left. And I was a little bit shocked that they were that forward about it and that clear about it. But, you know, that's how beloved she is within that company. And it is a puzzling move. It's a very puzzling move to me. But we had a whole lot of details on that. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats about that. Man, you guys are really showing out today, and I love it. I love it. But I'll tell you what else I love, my friends. I love a good night's sleep. Don't you? Don't you want to get a full night's sleep? Don't you want to wake up rested? Don't you want to wake up without the back pain, without the injuries? Without thinking, did I actually get any amount of sleep last night? Or was I just tossing and turning the whole time? Well, fortunately, Helix has got your back. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. If you've heard me talk about Helix, you know what I was talking about regarding my sleeping situation before I found Helix. I was on a slab of memory foam. It messed up my back. I was looking for a mattress, but I didn't want to go to the mattress store and roll around on something other people had been on. But I wanted to make sure I got the right mattress for me. I found the 30,000 plus five-star reviews from Helix. I saw them in GQ, in Wired, in Good Housekeeping. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I went to HelixSleep.com. I took their sleep quiz and I got matched up to the Dusk Lux model. Now, before, I was only a back sleeper. Now, I'm able to sleep on my back and my side because they personalize that mattress. They find the right one for you. And after that, I hit them up and I said, I love your product so much, I want Fightful to do business. They have a great 100-day money-back guarantee. Not only that, you take their sleep quiz, you match up to the mattress that's right for you. They get flexible payment plans as well. There's no reason you shouldn't try Helix Sleep. Invest in your sleep, because ideally you spend one-third of your life in bed. And that's just the sleeping part, my friends. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Oh, man, I love it. Had somebody hit me up about that. was happy to send them to helixsleep.com/fightful. I also have, even though they're not a sponsor, a couple of All Form couches too, which are their sister company. Great people over there. They actually hit us up during the wildfires and were like, hey, if anybody on your team needs help replacing bedding as a result of wildfires or anything, we got you. Just wonderful people. Wonderful people. D Skills H-Town says, I saw an old picture of you with long hair. Time to bring it back, brother. I don't think that I will ever bring my long hair back. I did a full show with Jimmy on grappling with grief about this, but I lost a friend to cancer, and there's a broader explanation of it, but she like refused to let us see her in her last few months because she was ashamed of how she looked and not having hair. I was very insecure about that. And we were like, man, we don't care what you look like. We know that it bothers you, but we just want to see you because we love you. And I decided to grow my hair out to donate it. And I was so happy that, like, I think we got a dozen commitments to donate hair. My wife has donated hers twice since then. But it was also my first time having long hair. And I was, like, rolling it up in the car windows and not, like, I wasn't aware of it. Oh my God, the first time I tried to wrestle or grapple with long hair, I don't know how people like Clay Guida fight, train, grapple with long hair because it gets stepped on and like people's knees get on it and it rips out chunks. But then if you braid it or row it or anything like that, your head hurts so bad. It sucks. It sucks. My friend Olivia Bierley, who I trained in her very early days of striking, she's now pro MMA fighter. Like I see her cornrows when she fights, and I'm like, how does your skull not hurt? D Skills also says Gail Kim would be a great help with the women's division. So let's talk about Gail. And again, a lot more details over on FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to find any additional super chats, humper chats, all that, but could these TNA firings be influenced by WWE? Not from what I've heard. And I believe WWE already has shown interest in, as Will Chisholm says, have you heard of WWE or AEW wanting to bring in Gail Kim? Any reaction from WWE and AEW about it? I had people from both companies reach out to me, ask me if I knew that she had a non-compete or any sort of termination weight or anything like that. She does not. She is free to go anywhere that she wants. I know that AEW or TNA would like to do like a non-disclosure, non-disparagement, something like that. I don't think she'll do that. She doesn't need to do that. I don't think there's any amount they can offer her that would justify it, especially compared to what she was making anyway. She could have retired a long time ago. Her and her lovely husband, Robert Irvine, one of the most successful chefs in the world. I expect AEW and WWE to both be interested. And I know a lot of people say, well, she had a tumultuous ending with WWE. I'm pretty sure that she felt that way as well. And that there were, you know, I mean, a few years ago, she was mentioning that Stephanie McMahon didn't really advocate for the women. I know there was a little bit of frustration there between the two sides, but I had people hitting me up from WWE. I had people asking talent that I knew about Gail Kim in WWE. So I would be shocked if she wasn't involved. And if you are WWE, especially, you need more women of influence in that company. AEW does as well, but they do have Jen Pepperman. They do have Sarah Stock. They do have Madison Rain. But you always need a Gail Kim. From a personnel standpoint, and I mean just a personnel standpoint, that would be like getting rid of your coach who made it to the Super Bowl. Even though TNA's not really made it to the Super Bowl, from a talent perspective, she can get you a meeting with any women's talent, period, because of the respect that she holds there. Why Solo Boo says, is Madison Rain still a producer role in AEW? Could she have an influence on bringing in Gail? She won't have any say in bringing in Gail. It would be somebody like Tony who wants to bring her in. She has people pushing for her in both companies, but Madison Rain is still a producer in AEW for sure. She produces a lot of the women's stuff there. But like, there's going to be a lot of people that are angling to get Gail Kim. And in AEW and WWE, there are some things that she loses from TNA. Like, again, one of the benefits of having her in TNA is because all this free agent talent might consider working for TNA because Gail Kim is there. AEW and WWE have the money to where that doesn't matter as much. Now, it might help people saying, oh, well, I'd like to work with Gail Kim, but it would be just on the list. Because if you're working for TNA, you're probably compromising financially anyway. Not so Brokely Hathaway says, SRS, saw that they used a Fightful headline for the Steph show. Question for you. In your opinion, what exit do you think was volatile or crazier? Punk leaving WWE in 2014 or Punk getting fired from WWE in 2023? Well, I covered both of those, and I covered the Colt Cabana pod hiccups again every freaking stream. I covered the Colt Cabana podcast later that year as, God, I got the hiccups again. I covered the Colt Cabana podcast later that year. And not only that, we have a great video that you guys should check out. Just go to our YouTube and type in timeline in the search bar, and you will see a video that I worked on for quite a while, and I released it a little over a year ago, and it says how CM Punk's WWE Royal Rumble 2014 departure led to his 2023 return. And it is a 10-year timeline of how all of that led up to his return, of which now I can expand because his AEW exit also led to the Ryan Nemeth lawsuit. That being said, the Punk firing in 2023 was one of the most insane things that I have ever covered. I mean, we're talking fist fights, multiple people coming back, new shows being started, by far at CM Punk 2022-2023. By far. By the way, no, your super chats aren't getting skipped over. I'm just applying them in a more streamlined method. He says, why were Schnerner, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Schnerner, Shevchenko, and Kligman let go? Carlos Silva wanting to bring in his own people, from what I understand. That's pretty well why, from what I understand. And we've got him saying, Carlos Silva, how did he even get a job? Thoughts? He was instituted from Anthem, and they right now they want to bring in their own people. Now, you should make Gail Kim one of your own people. You should make Romy Glazer one of your own people. You should make Sebastian Suave one of your own people. And I'll have a lot more details on some of the things that they did on Fightful Select on Thursday, I think. Mike Gilbert has a really good thread about it on Twitter, though. I encourage you guys to check it out. Mike Gilbert covers TNA as well as I think anybody on the planet covers TNA, and you guys should check him out for sure. Let me get his handle for you guys. Always very level-headed. Mike Gilbert 311. Like, he's very, very good, level-headed, common sense takes, and has a lot of insights as well, as far as a lot of those. And whenever I see people say, oh, they're making business decisions, the metrics associated with these people largely went up. I don't understand it. Ryan says, people keep comparing Rock and Cena term, but Rock didn't make Cody bleed until 2 weeks before, whereas Cena did right away. Plus, it's still 3 weeks away. And Ryan, that's why I'm saying, why hasn't Cody whipped this dude's ass yet? Why hasn't he whipped this dude's ass? Tell me. Give me the details. Why not? I'll give you some details. If you want to see him get that ass whipped.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
On a big screen TV in a cabana, check out our friends at Circa Las Vegas. That's where our friend Joel will be staying. I had the opportunity to check out their setup for Mania Week in January, and it was incredible. That's where, if I go back to Vegas, I'm staying at Circa Las Vegas. They're going to have Chris Van Vliet there. They're going to have Busted Open there that week. All kinds of wrestlers, including, I can't give away the name, but one very famous wrestler who's been in the mainstream scene for 25 years was there hanging out the week that I was there as well. Check it out. Circa Las Vegas and their Circa Mania events during WrestleMania. Follow them at Circa Las Vegas and go to CircaLasVegas.com. Go to NOLA on the Haunted History Tour. It's so good. I might do that. I got to admit, I am not a ghost, goblins, and haunted guy. I'm not. I had a girlfriend when I was a teenager, and she made, like, listen, I was a broke-ass teenager for sure, but she made me take her to all these, like, haunted gimmicks and all this stuff, and I was like, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. There's a 7-Eleven across the street from the Dent Schoolhouse or whatever it is. I think that's what it's Cincinnati. The Dent Schoolhouse. It was like in town. There's like 17 porta potties right there. There's a tire store next door. It's a Shell station, my bad. There's a car wash. Like, we're supposed to believe that this clearly manufactured building in the middle of Cincinnati is haunted? I don't buy it, buddy. Not for me. Now, in Blue Licks, Kentucky, they had like a haunted trail that I thought was funny. And so that was cool, but no thanks, man. Guys, I am getting to all of your super chats and humper chats. We are not running out of time. I am hanging out here until you guys stop sending super chats and humper chats. I am at the mercy of the almighty dollar. Also, somebody asked, did they ask to use the Fightful headline in the new Steph show? No, no. Jay Polanco says, you can't get beat up by a guy that shows up and says, hey, fight me, but you swing first. It makes Cody look like a punk. I mean, that's what Cody should do, though. He should be like, now you don't have Travis Scott to hide behind. I would love it if he said that. What will you do now? We don't have to wait. If you want 17, I'll give it to you right here. And John Cena will say, these people don't deserve it. These people get to operate on my schedule because my time is now. I just wrote their next promo for him, Jay Polanco. Cody should outright come out there and say, you have been hiding behind Travis Scott and a 50-year-old man. Why don't you do something now? John Cena won't. And there should be some integration of WWE security that is a little bit more favorable to John Cena than him. Van Twinblade says, go to NOLA, go on the Haunted History. Oh, I already read that one. But thank you, Van Twinblade. Cool Fool says, why is WWE censoring crowd chants on Netflix despite Triple H saying it will not happen? They edited words like bitch after the show has been aired. I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't like it. It's one of the frustrating things that I've noticed about this Netflix regime. I love the 2.5 hour time thing, but the censoring of things like that is lame. Now I see why on SmackDown, I guess, but you can say anything on USA Network. Ultimately, I think a lot of it has to come down to do with sponsors. What are sponsors comfortable with happening, hearing, saying on that show? But also, if you're a sponsor, don't you know what you're getting into? Don't you know that, like, it's going to happen anyway? Why wouldn't you be okay with that by now? It's not like it's a surprise. You know exactly what's up there. T. Tim McFall, thank you so much for this generous super chat. He says, TNA letting go of one of the only female leaders in wrestling is wild. TK needs to take advantage of their stupidity and scoop her up. The business needs more respected, smart, successful women involved in leadership, not less. Completely agree. Talent relations for AEW or WWE would greatly benefit from having Gail Kim, who could also agent matches. She can do any number of things there. And she does it, again, for love of the game. She could have retired a long time ago. She's fine. She wants to do this. And she is planning on continuing in wrestling, I'm told. So this isn't like a thing. Like I, from what I understand, she wants to show them that they made a bad decision. And listen, I'm motivated. Gail Kim scares the hell out of me, man. But hey, look at it this way. She can wrestle me on Zicky Dice's Outlandish Paradise now. But it's baffling, Tim. And obviously, I like and respect Gail Kim. But I like and respect Gail Kim because she has earned the respect of everybody. I always refer to her and Rocky Romero as unfuckwithable. And I had a conversation with another one of the most respected names in pro wrestling who mentioned that, a WWE name, who said, man, I wish we had Rocky Romero and Gail Kim. And I said, why? And they go, well, they're unfuckwithable. Everybody wants to be respected by them. Everybody wants to be liked by them. And they get stuff done. And that's what they were willing to let go. Excited to attend to Dynasty, says Dave Cost. Please tell me Swerve wins because I'm worried. I still like your idea of Will kicking off the Owen on the pay-per-view. Yeah, I think that'd be a great way to do that. It adds some stakes to whatever match that Will Ospreay is involved in. I think that would be really cool. And it puts a highlight on the Owen tournament. I don't know if Swerve wins. I hope he does. I think that's the right move. But I have not heard that he does. I certainly don't think, like, if we're at this point, and I don't think Jon Moxley should hold the title until May or July. I don't. AEW is so much better from a broad sense than it was 6 months ago. And I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of Moxley holding the title that long. And I like Jon Moxley too. What do you think of Mercedes and Izzy Moreno feuding on X? Do you think Izzy is getting signed to AEW when she turns 18? So I'm planning an interview with Izzy soon. I loved it. Like, listen, Izzy's not going to get her feelings hurt. Like, what hasn't that kid already had hurled at her from the time she was a child? She was a little kid who was on TV, had horrible things thrown her way. She did a match with Effie. Everybody told her, too young to do that. Don't be doing that. And I agree. And she said, all right, well, guess what? I'm going to go learn jiu-jitsu and train MMA and work on that skill set. And then when she was old enough to train to wrestle, she immediately went and did that despite some pretty serious back injuries. Got good at it. Won our Rookie of the Year in the fan voting for the Fightful Award. Is better at cutting promos than a lot of grown-ass adults. But it wasn't just that. She learned a lot of different elements of it. She was self-producing her content. She shadowed me and Denise at an AEW event. I got a lot of respect for Izzy. Like, she went and did it. And there is nobody that can point at Izzy now and say she has not put in the work. She hasn't done what it takes. She is always out there training. She's always out there working out, staying in the gym, performing, working on her promos, getting advice from people that know more than her. That girl has done everything the right way. I would be surprised if she didn't have some sort of deal when she is able. And I love that Mercedes is going back and forth. Mercedes says, I'm not getting you booked. Stay broke. Oh, it was so good. It was so funny. I admit, listen, I love Mercedes Moné's Twitter. Like, it's so good, man. She is funny as hell. Dave Koss says, what's your gut on the question? Will Tony let Sting do the Luger Hall of Fame induction? Or is it not that simple? I would let it be the last olive branch extended. Let it be a last opportunity. One more shot. You know, despite them not letting Luger do theirs, despite them planting some stories, which I can tell you firsthand WWE has absolutely done, despite the fast national stuff that they give to an absolute dweeb, despite running the same night as AEW, intentionally and maliciously, despite them reaching out and trying to nail down deals with talent that are under contract to AEW, extend that olive branch. I know a lot of people are like, well, AEW brings them up a lot. Okay. As some people will say, well, what about Edge and Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy got fired from WWE and still didn't get his travel until the day his 90 days were up. Copeland tried to work out a deal with WWE. It didn't work. He was on his way out. They didn't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem if somebody is clearly finishing up with a company. When you got 5-6 months left on your deal, come on, that's malicious. Let this be the last olive branch. If WWE shows you they're willing to play nice and respectful in that sense, okay. Otherwise, you just become a victim, a perpetual victim, if you allow that stuff to happen, which AEW has allowed a number of times. But this one, for Lex, of which they hosted recently, they had Lex backstage. Not just at Revolution, since then. Let that be the last one if they continue that stuff. Van Twinblade says, turn into Grapsity for what you want from SRS on Swerve. What do you mean? What do you mean, Van Twinblade? I want him to be champ. Spilled water all over myself. That's a thing. Nicholas says, was Becky pitched a Mania match with Lyra and turned it down because Bayley versus Roxy looked like a Mania match, but they stopped building it. Now it looks like maybe Lyra versus Bayley or both Liv and Raquel. No. Okay. I've never heard that Becky was pitched a Mania match with Lyra, much less that she rejected it. Absolutely have never heard that at all. I don't know that I've heard of a singles match that she was, or a one-on-one match that she was pitched. Or that was pitched. I don't want to say that she was pitched. That was pitched. Because I don't know necessarily that Becky turned down anything. Now that I think of it. But it definitely, I know this. I've never once heard that anybody was pitched for Lyra or that it was denied at all. Ignacio says, this is much cheaper than cam sites. Nice. I'll tell you what else is cheaper. FightfulSelect.com. It is our lifeblood. We would greatly appreciate it. Listen, some of you guys that have been there for a while have been getting that $5 a month still. We've been going back and forth with Patreon. A bunch of people got undercharged. I want to say thank you to the people that were honest and let us know. They're like, hey, yo, we've still been getting charged $5. Patreon cost us a bit there, but listen, you guys are making it up to me today. So TK let her out earlier, and percentage Mariah leaves AEW. Listen, I'm saying 50-50 because I don't know. The things I have heard out there, I reached out to Mariah. I reached out to her agent, and they both hit me with a no comment, very respectfully and nicely, which I appreciated. But I've been covering contracts for a long time, guys. It's what I really specialize in, and I love covering contracts because it means that somebody's getting paid. Something good's happening. But also, when some details end up on Discords and stuff like that before I hear about them, and I'm like, well, I know that isn't true, but I can tell who said this to this person. I'm like, okay, are they putting that out there so word gets out about the contract, about potential interest elsewhere? Is it a negotiation tactic? What is that? They're all things I got to weigh. I know a lot of people think that, oh, people just tell Sean that and he just types it up and puts it out there. I got to weigh all this stuff. It's very important to weigh all that. Does Carlos Silva deserve the job? Did he earn it? I don't know if he earned it. I don't know his history. I'll look at his LinkedIn real quick and I'll let you know what I believe of that. But I know that Ariel was a person that a lot of people thought like worked his way really, really up and worked very, very hard. Carlos Silva, I don't know if he knows wrestling. I've heard of like some terminology that he's used, like bike rack instead of guardrails, where people were like, that's so out of left field that they wondered if he was like being, if he was satirical, satirical. Is that like, I got a person from WWE messaging me an article about Gail Kim now. Van Twinblade says haunted history tours are like, here's where that lady Kathy Bates played an American Horror Story. Witches lived and all the effed up stuff she really did to the slaves that they owned. Also, Nick Cage used to own it. My God. I like some of the American Horror Story stuff, though. Any chance SmackDown could be 2 hours, 30 minutes later on? I expect SmackDown to be 2 hours or 3 hours. I don't know, but I expect it to be 2 hours or 3 hours. Brandon Joseph says, Zarian's huge all-in tease, Stone Cold Steve Austin appearance. I've not heard that. I have only theorized that. Stone Cold Steve Austin claims he hasn't heard from TKO since they took over. So if I'm Tony, I'm throwing every amount of money I can to hit a glass shatter, whatever custom theme you can make then, and then have Stone Cold Steve Austin come out, kick Wham Stunner, hit Max Caster with it at the open challenge, pin him. Debbie Dab says, any chance we see Josh Alexander show up by AEW Dynasty, or do you think it might be at All In Texas? Oh, I fully expect Josh Alexander well before AEW All In Texas. I would love for Josh Alexander to be a surprise entrant in the Owen, is what I would like. They haven't announced that full field yet, have they? I don't believe so. You think top Scott D'Amore can make a play at any of TNA personnel or talent? So there are a lot of misconceptions about Scott D'Amore and Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. I see a lot of people say, oh, I can see Gail Kim going to Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. They don't run at that often. Like, we're talking about them running like here and there. It's not like it's every month or anything. They did their first show. When was it? Was it October? Yeah, I think it was like October. And then they didn't run again until this month. And then they're running again in May. This isn't like a fully contracted company or like full-time company or anything. It is an indie right now. It's a very good indie, but it is an indie. But yeah, I mean, he uses a lot of the TNA and he uses a lot of the TNA production staff. Ryan says, have you heard how WWE feels about Speed? Just waiting for the contract to end. I like that they've let NXT show out. I haven't heard anything negative about it. No, like they, it's another deal that they do. I don't know what you mean by just waiting the contract to end. Like, they're getting paid by Twitter X for this show. They are now on A&E, Tubi, X, Netflix, USA Network, Peacock, CW. They're getting paid by like 8 different content distributors right now. They're very happy to do that. RJ Suburb says, how involved is RJ City in the Death Riders storyline? Is there correlation with him becoming involved in the storyline improving? Thanks for Fightful. From what I had always heard, John Moxley, RJ City worked directly on the Death Rider stuff. Anything has to get approved by Tony Khan. But that I had always heard that he was involved and that John Moxley would contribute as well and throw in ideas. It is a collaborative effort. I haven't heard of any increasing or decreasing involvement in those. I don't know if when Tony got, quote, in the weeds more with creative that changed, but RJ's been involved and has been involved throughout the whole process as best I know. If WWE buys TNA, what do you think happens? Well, first off, that's bad for pro wrestling if WWE buys TNA. I know this is a smaller super chat, but I've got a lot of feelings on this. A lot of people are like, well, WWE's clearly buying TNA. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. But I'll explain to you why I don't think that's going to happen. WWE is not in library acquisition mode. When's the last time they bought a WWE library or a wrestling library? It's been quite a while back. Certainly not under TKO. Certainly not since they started to farm their stuff out to Peacock. And now they're even taking the old libraries that they own, and they're not licensing them out. They're putting them on YouTube, where they have almost certainly negotiated a higher ad rate for their monetization with Google. So would WWE buy TNA effectively for the video library just to put it on YouTube? I doubt that. And you might say, well, they could get TNA a TV deal. Of course they could get TNA a TV deal. One better than what TNA has. TNA is on Access. What is LFG on right now? LFG is on primetime on A&E. TNA would love to be primetime on A&E. So WWE does not need to buy a company to get it a better TV deal. They can literally start up a brand new show, LFG, and get it on this. They can put Evolve on Tubi. They can get those deals on their own. They do not need to buy TNA to do that. The value of TNA is their library. That's it. A lot of their equipment is rented and has been for quite some time since they shut down their warehouses years ago. They're not like getting like a bunch of rings and lighting equipment and all that stuff. You might say, well, what about the talent contracts? What about the talent contracts? Has WWE ever had trouble booking Jordan Grace or Joe Hendry or the Hardys or the Rascals? No. They get them and don't have to pay them a monthly salary. They get them whenever they want. And then when the deals are up, WWE can sign them anyway. And Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace quickly sign with them. What is the benefit of buying TNA is what I'm wondering. Beyond that, they had an antitrust lawsuit. As far as MLW is concerned, and them getting MLW kicked off Tubi because WWE was on Fox. I think that WWE's deal with TNA largely is to say to judges in the future, hey, look, this is not antitrust. We're helping these people out. But if you buy them up, boy, that gives an awful lot of fuel to that antitrust stuff. And even beyond that, like UFC under Endeavor is a way different company. When UFC bought Strikeforce and Pride and WFA and all these other places, this was before that. They don't do that anymore either. This company, Endeavor, which became TKO, is not a library acquisition company. And I feel like that's important to note. Could it happen? Yes, it could certainly happen, but I don't see it happening. Hope Mariah May stays in AEW, even though the top of the card has more people. Think she'd stand out more. Where WWE, she might blend in too much. Regardless of where you go, if you're Mariah May, boy, it's hard to top that story. And it's only a story that you can do straight from the beginning in AEW. But she worked out a deal. She knew her plan. She knew the creative when she came in. And I was shocked to hear that her deal was coming up because it would be a 2-year deal. Now, there's always a possibility that maybe AEW has some option years on. In fact, people I talked to in the company said they'd be shocked if they didn't. But I think more people should go into a company signing these shorter two-year deals and see how they're used and then renegotiate. Obviously, AEW, WWE want them long-term, though. Why did Silva fire Ariel? He set up WWE deal. I mean, sort of. WWE set up the WWE deal. That deal's not going to happen unless they want it to. And they contacted Scott D'Amore about using Jordan Grace and Anthem. Ariel was helpful in it, certainly. I've heard good things about like his product knowledge and all that. Like, he knew about wrestling when they instituted him into that role. But I don't know how you can work for TNA or Anthem at this stage and feel any semblance of confidence in your role. Because I'll tell you what's not normal. Having three presidents of a company within a calendar year is not something that is normal. Jimmy Van's call ended 12 minutes ago and he didn't show up. Didn't show up for work here today. Any news on Kevin Knight's contract? I haven't heard of any new deal or any new news. And I know New Japan wanted to bring him back. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. I'm hanging out here until they're done, guys. And we still got a few more. Jay Polanco says, Sean, WWE is looking for writers. You just wrote a smart promo. Why has The Rock not been mentioned at all? He was the catalyst. I will say this. I appreciate the comment. I would be a terrible writer. I'd be okay at contributing some ideas, but it would be for other people to execute. Not good at the scripting stuff. Like, while I am not keen on Vince Russo, I have heard about the writing process enough from him years ago working with him, the scripting elements of it, and then all the writers I have known since then, it's not an easy job. The Rock should absolutely be mentioned. And if he's not, I'm sure I'll get told, well, there was no mention of him being brought up. This is why not. And then he'll show up and he'll hold up three fingers, four fingers, play rock, paper, scissors, do the throat slit. And a bunch of, you know, randoms on Twitter will say, oh, he knew. He had it planned. All right. D-Matic, the producer, says, why isn't the Raw tag division getting as much shine as the SmackDown tag division? If Jay wins at Mania, who will his challenger be? Will it be a mid-carder or main eventer? I think it'll be his brother. Honestly, I think it'll be his brother, and then they will probably move on to Bron Breakker. I think the Fatal 4-Way is how you get the title off of Bron Breakker and on to Penta or Dominic or Finn. Because if you put it on Dominic, Finn and Penta can both challenge him, and Bron Breakker can move up. Bron Breakker can get put into a world title contender tournament. I think that would be good. I have no idea why the Raw tag team division doesn't get as much love. I was told that that the tag titles would be featured more with them as tag champions, and it just hasn't happened. And it should, because this division is not getting any love. Do you hear why WWE had Julia drop the NXT title? Was it an injury, visa, call-up, or catalyst to changing her character? I haven't heard why, but I believe it's a combination. And preparing for other things. Believe. I don't know this for certain. Just based on the things that I've heard. I can't verify that she's hurt or anything like that. Any update on Trent? I believe he's been backstage a number of times in recent months. Working to get cleared. Kamala's family has announced on Facebook that his legacy is now under a WWE legend deal. So Hall of Fame. Yeah. Yeah. They have been discussing putting him in the Hall of Fame. They discussed the possibility of demolition as well. I don't think they'll be in this year. I think next year. I think they wanted to get Fred Ottman, the former Typhoon, in because he had some health struggles earlier this year. And you want to get him in while you can, but hopefully demolition next year. Kamala, I could see them putting him in this year or next year as well. Do I expect Cedric Alexander to be All Elite? I expect him to get at least an appearance in AEW. I don't know necessarily that he'll be signed, although he did just sign with Paragon Talent Group, which does represent Shelton and MVP and helped out Bobby Lashley as well. Any word on Rock turning up in London? Keep up the good work. Now, somebody asked or told me, ask about The Rock on Friday. They sent me a text, a source. Now, I don't know if this means that they wanted to know or that I should be finding out. And also, I don't know if they meant I should wait till Friday and ask about The Rock, or I should just ask about The Rock being there on Friday. Is that where SmackDown is? Is it in London? I don't know where the shows are coming up. I just know they're in Europe for another week, which, hell yeah, I love doing those early shows. Not good for our numbers, but very good for our shows. Let's see. Yeah, London on Friday. And they got London on Monday. That's cool. That's a smart idea. Very smart to do that. And then they're back in Seattle. Woof. 4:30 start time. That sucks, man. That sucks. Yikes. I'm just looking at the schedules here. Then they got Minneapolis, Sacramento. Cool Fool says, I know Netflix and USA want talent on their show, but would WWE ever enforce the draft? 20 years ago, Triple H would not want JBL to bring his title to Raw. When Netflix and or USA get more staunch about wanting talent specific to their show, then they will. And somebody says, Rock will be in Houston on Friday for the UFL. You did my job for me. Thank you so much. I had not heard anything about him actually being in London, not as of yet. But when Netflix or USA get staunch about that, that's when WWE will finally enforce it. And I used to care so much about the brand split. Now I'm just like, well, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all because they treat it like it doesn't matter. Once they do another draft, I'll be like, all right, now I'm annoyed again. Love for Boost says, AEW Women's Tag Team Championship, please. I wish they would consolidate the ROH women's and TV titles. And you can keep the ROH title alive as like the secondary world title. I would consolidate the AEW world title and the TBS title. I would do that. And then instead just have AEW and ROH women's title, because they already treat TBS title as a world championship anyway. So just use the ROH women's title. And then I would add a women's tag team title. And I wouldn't make it the AEW women's tag title. I've said this a million times. I would make it the world women's tag team titles, and they can be defended anywhere. Hi, Sean. Has there been any conversation in WWE about the quality of SmackDown going down? Yes, there has been. A lot of people have brought it up. They don't feel like it's been up to par as late. And I certainly understand it, and I certainly agree with it. And there's a lot of people that are like, well, why aren't more talent being used? It's 3 hours. You had that fake report out there a while back that they were going to use Blair Davenport more. That was never discussed. But why wasn't it, right? Like, why wasn't it discussed? I'm told StreamYard links are not working. Kyler, is this fixed? Dante says, re-sign Mariah and have her and Mina get to a women's tag team in a tournament. So this is honestly what I would do. Let's look at the women's roster. So like, you know, Saraya said, oh, I'd be fine with coming back. Have her come back as like a surprise, like teammate of Harley Cameron, and they lose very early on. Like, it's okay to use her in appropriate situations. You can have a Joshi team as well. You got Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa. You got Deanna and Taya. Like, you've got the Minions and Athena. Like, you've got tag teams you can have used there. Anna and Ty, you can have them together. Is AEW Shockwave not happening anymore? Haven't heard a thing in months. It was only a pitch and a theory. It was never a plan, so to speak. Just a pitch and a theory. But it was something that they brought up, and it just no deal was ever reached. Ended up falling through. Didn't work out. Bobby says, what do you think of this group of talent we'll do in the Mania card? Bailey, LA Knight, Braun, Solo, Nia, and Chelsea. Ooh. Chelsea defending her title. I honestly think Nia would be a good one to put against her, and then she could beat Nia, and I think they would go well. It should be Solo versus Jacob. Shouldn't be anything but Solo versus Jacob. That's the match to do. They won't do it, though. I could see Braun getting left out. Or I could see them doing LA Knight versus Solo versus Braun versus Jacob. Fuck. They absolutely will. My God. Yeah. Bailey either against Lyra or teaming with somebody to take on Liv and Raquel. That's what I think will happen. Oh, man, I just realized that Fatal 4-Way U.S. title is probably a thing. With Chelsea, I want her against somebody that wins matches. She needs to get like a big super mania entrance. We're about to wrap up, guys. We got one more. KE775 says, shouldn't Becky be gunning for Liv, screwing her out of the title and bragging about retiring her? It doesn't seem that complicated to me. Yeah, she should. But I would like her and Bailey to do that. Like Bailey's like, I would like to be tag team champion. Let's go after these. And Becky's like, I'm not done yet. I think that makes an awful lot of sense. I don't know if that's been pitched or thrown Becky's way or anything like that. But yeah, I think that, Ish, yours wasn't skipped. Yours wasn't skipped. Where'd you send one? I read this one. I read that, my friend. Got to rewind back a few minutes. But yeah, I think that Becky and Bailey against Liv and Raquel honestly has some value to it as well. You're talking about three former world champions and then Raquel, who they clearly view as something. Guys, thank you all so much. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I'm solo tonight on the post AEW podcast. Please join me. I would greatly appreciate that. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Check out all of our other great videos. We got a whole lot more on this channel. A lot of info docs, a lot of interviews, a lot of special presentations that you all will enjoy. We're out.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.